M, morning to you as well. Once again, the Law Advisory Services Advocate Workshop from DHET, Parliamentary Legal Services, our own personnel, I suggest that you get started with the business of the day, which one anticipates is not going to take that long, because we've gone through all the processes of this bill. It has reached its final stage at the level of the committee. So I want to welcome everybody, and we've got a record of apologies before us. Noel Thando. No, you can tell me. Honorable Mshodi is on sick leave. Honorable Samka is on sick leave. Honorable Kaola is engaged with the other party work. We do constitute quorum because we are dealing with a Section 75 bill, which would require that at least we've got 6 members. Maybe then, on the basis of the number that we have, we could actually be able to proceed at least today. Honorable Hui.
No, Kelebora, Mutlastulu. Kihobela or the Kiber released earlier because I've got another meeting that needs the quorum at 11 o'clock.
Okay, thank you. We shall try to be as quick as possible because there's nothing really much that we've got to deliberate on today because Wednesday, the department took time to actually brief those of us who were present, going through each submission that was made. Yes, the quorum was a bit of a challenge on that day, but it was not for the process of actually voting on the bill. So we continued in that fashion, but I would request that maybe Advocate Boshoff and Doctor, the good doctor, just give us briefly what transpired last week for the benefit of those members that were on legitimate leave. Honorable Deputy Minister, I thought you wanted to say something.
No.
I was actually going to give you a chance to make prefacing remarks if you've got any.
No, I'm okay.
Okay, thank you. Let me then hand over to Advocate and the Doctor.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, first of all, we just want to acknowledge that Dr. Lloyd has retired from the department and she is now, due to a process of being involved with this bill, we've contracted that there has to be a resource person during this process. So when she addresses any questions or anything directed to her, it is that the members are aware of the fact that she's not a member of the department anymore, but she got a mandate to be here, and she is formally mandated by the minister and the DP to assist the process. Summarize the issue. At the last meeting, we've dealt with all the presentations, but the department requested leave from the committee that due to this really short notice we've had, that it might be useful if we can reserve the right to add to the comments that we've made. We've provided 2 documents. One is a document that is summarizing all the different comments. No, that's the slide, the other document, and in detail comments. And then from this document, we provided a slide, which is a shortened version. And honorable members and chairperson, this is therefore the focus will be on the slide due to the time constraints. But if there's anything that members want to ask or get more detail about the other document, which is a more detailed word by word analysis of the comments, we can also oblige to that. Chair, honourable members, the purpose of this meeting is to provide the NCOP with the resources for, of the department to the written submissions from external organisations to the NQF Amendment Bill. This series of slides presents the actual statements from the Amendment Bill, the comments from the external organisations, and the responses they do. The first one is dealing with clause, slide 3 is dealing with clause 1b, the definition of authenticity. The definition is also there, it means in relation to a foreign qualification, means a qualification or part qualification that is lawfully obtained from a foreign country and is evaluated by SAQWA in terms of the Act. Now, USOF is one of the bodies that made the comment, and just for the members who's not afraid with all the abbreviations, it is University South Africa. The other full comment that we are going to analyze is from the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants, which is SAICA. Third one is the Independent Institute of Education, which is IIE, Umalusi, and then Managed Integrity Evaluation Pty Limited, which is also known as MIB. USOF comments were as follows, that they want to replace clause 1B, which was lawfully obtained in a foreign country and has been evaluated by SAQWA as a qualification or part qualification that could be placed on the South African NQF. Our response to that is that the recommendation made by USOF is not material different from the existing clause. It seeks to replace a foreign qualification that has to be verified first in order to ascertain its authenticity.
Let me just interject a second. Please tell us the page where the slide is, and secondly, we've got an you have got an allocation of about 20 minutes on this.
I will fast track then, Chair. It is slide 3 at the moment. Chair, the nub of it is that the although it is different wording, it is basically the same concept, and all the issues that they raise about concept of that it verified and is the word they want to bring in. But if you look at the definition of evaluate, which is linked to foreign qualifications, it defines it as a verification process. So in essence, it's already addressed if you look at the definition of evaluate. But evaluate is important when it comes to foreign qualifications because it is not on the NQF, so you can't just verify. You must evaluate where it fits on the NQF before you can verify it as a qualification that complies with all the standards. So, and that is why it is important to distinguish when it comes to foreign qualifications to evaluate, and the word verified is embedded in that. And with the South African qualifications, verification is the word that's currently in the legislation and it is continued in that way. Chair, if we then move to slide 5, four is dealing with authenticity and authentic. which is, it is on the same basis. I think I've already addressed the issues there. Slide five is also dealing with the issues of IIE, where they raise the issues of part qualifications and other certifications. So we've got qualifications, part qualifications, and they want to bring in a concept of other certifications lawfully obtained, and it excludes any qualification or part qualification or certification erroneously awarded, misrepresented, fraudulently obtained. The concept of other certificates lawfully obtained is very vague. There's no substance given as to what that would be. We are dealing with a qualification framework, a South African Qualification Authority, dealing with a national qualification framework, and the qualification consists of qualifications and part qualifications. By bringing in another concept of other certification, would provide uncertainty and would not be within the concept of the main legislation, and the department is therefore not in support of it. The issue of slide six is dealing with misrepresented qualifications or part qualifications. Is a qualification or part qualification which is not authentic, or whether a certificate of award or software certificate of evaluation was erroneously issued or altered in any way. Chair, in the last meeting we spent a lot of time on this issue. It is at the heart of the aspect of the amendment bill. The aspect that a qualification is registered and after the event there is a problem, or when it comes to the registration onto it, it is presented as a qualification, and when it is then considered on the national learner database, there is a problem with it. And there's two manifestations out of that. The one is a misrepresented qualification, where it was a mistake. Whatever being presented or what is being reflected on the national qualification framework is not correct, and it can be corrected through a process, it can be corrected through additional information, but it identifies there's a problem. The more serious one is the fraudulent one, where it is then identified as a potential fraud and it will be subjected to a court process, and it will then finally be placed on the framework for fraudulent qualifications, which leads to a nullification of that qualification on the NQF. So, Chair, the process that we've got here is to deal with the concept of authenticity, and they also want to use the inauthenticity for those that is not authentic. It is a matter of grammar, which is not a major difference. It's no material difference to what we've got in place. It is important that that the definition of misrepresented qualifications, as it is defined, includes qualifications and part qualifications, and it is been registered by SAQWA, and if you deal with any of the other concepts that they raise, it will be confusing, and that is why we've also tried to address the concept that if a qualification is there and you must follow a process, there is then the three different separate registers, as I've already indicated, the National Qualification register, the misrepresented register, and the fraudulent register. That will then be the way in which those problem qualifications that has been identified will be challenged. So if we move to slide 7, it is dealing with the fraudulent. I think we've also captured that in my discussion on the previous slide, because it's all related to the same issues. It is the comments that that was received in this regard from the IIE. It is on 7. 7 was Yusuf. It was Yusuf that made introduced a word that is referred to as a bogus qualification instead of a fraudulent qualification. First of all, bogus is a word that is not any content in a legal sense. It is originating from the American slang, I think, and it is not that easy to deal with it. It is the language that is used is within the current system. It is either a fraudulent or a misrepresented, and if you want to replace fraudulent with bogus, it is very difficult to see how it can be anything other than one that is fraudulent, because misrepresented might be by way of a bona fide, a genuine mistake by an individual, and therefore it must just be corrected. And it's not a bogus, it might not be on the NKS, but it is not necessarily a bogus. And to call it a bogus it will cause more harm than good. That is slide 8, Chair. Slide 9 is dealing with the issue of verified. Yusuf was of the opinion that instead of verification, it is to establish authenticity. Chair, the word verified is already in the current Domain Act. Mm-hmm. To change it to a different terminology is going to be confusing, and the courts will ask why would the legislature move away from the nomenclature used in the Act by providing a different word, and therefore it must have a different meaning. To establish authenticity, if you look at authenticity, it embedded verification as the mode in which you deal with the concept of authenticity, and therefore substantially it is nothing new, it is a matter of style. But due to the current legislation, it is not advised to change terminology or specific meaning of words by introducing new terminology. If we go to slide 10, it was dealing with the concept of learner achievements to mean a qualification or part qualification. Yusuf wanted to delete the definition and insert a new definition that does not limit it to learner achievements, to qualifications or part qualifications, but also to altered grades and subjects and courses and other important parts of the problem that is linked to the verification process. Chair, it is important that when we are looking at the roles and responsibilities of the role players, when it comes to the function of registering the qualification on the NQF, it is the responsibility of SAQWA, but on the advice of the Quality Council. Now, if you are dealing with the learner achievements registered on the the National Qualification Framework, it is in terms of Section 13, it is a link to qualifications and part qualifications as the responsibility. But if you go to Section 27 of the Act, which is dealing with the responsibility of the Quality Councils, it is also important that the Quality Councils must deal with their responsibility of quality assurance. And there, it is important that they must have a register or in their or the process of quality assurance, they must look at the registration of the institution, the registration of the qualifications, the course context, the subject context, the grades that has been dealt with, and all the issues that has been raised by USOF as part of the functions of SAQWA. So it is not that it is not covered. It is covered as part of the process, but it is part of the quality assurance process that all those finite details pertaining to that qualification is properly dealt with by the Quality Council. And on that advice, SAQWA is dealing with it, receiving it as a qualification that has already complied with all those requirements. So to add it to the responsibility of SAQWA would mean that it become very complex when you are dealing with the national qualification register, qualification and part qualification register. Slide 11 is dealing with the issue of the inclusion of private education institutions. Clause 3B is dealing with every private education institution or skills development provider offering education and training and every component thereof towards a qualification or part qualification must be registered by the department as a private higher education institution or a skills development provider and accredited by the relevant QC to offer such qualification or part qualification. The IIE has the issue that they recommend that private education institution means an independent education institution registered and accredited in terms of relevant laws. The issue there is the definition of a education institution is already in the main act, and we are dealing here with an amendment act. So we're not going to repeat what is in the definitions in the main act already. And furthermore, it refers to which is institution that is declared. Established, declared, or registered by law, and the law will be the relevant pieces of legislation that is applicable to where that institutional types are emanating from. So it is already covered by the system as a whole. Slide 12 is dealing with clause 4A which of the bill, which is dealing with verify all qualifications or part qualifications referred to it in terms of section 32 capital A and make a decision of the status thereof. The issue of USOF is that that verify all recommendations should evaluate all recommendations. So I've already addressed that issue in my earlier comments on the slide. And evaluate, as I've already indicated, is also in capturing verification. If I can move to slide 13, clause 4B, Roman 1, it is dealing with the, in respect of records maintained in the under NLRD, that comprise of qualifications, part qualifications, and what they are in essence are the what is important is that SAICA is then making the recommendation that the inclusion and maintenance of records and achievements against legacy qualifications should also be included in this amendment. The issue is you've got a qualification or a part qualification. To break it down to legacy qualification, what would be the meaning thereof? Does it mean that it is a qualification prior to the NQF coming to into existence? Then it's already covered, because all qualifications that have been awarded to any person prior to 1994, when this act came into effect, has been captured on the NQF and must be captured on the NQF. The concept of legacy is like bogus colleges. It is a word that crept in, and nobody is really understanding what is the meaning of it. Because what the purpose of this act is to protect the integrity of any qualification, no matter how you call it, the legacy or not, any qualification that's been compliant to the standards and the prescripts as provided in terms of this legislation. And therefore, it is, in the view of the department, it is not feasible to support that notion. That was slide 14. We move on to slide 14. SAICA, further on that clause, they raised the issue that since this clause referred to the maintenance of the register of professional designations, that it does not allow for professional bodies to recognize and attach designations to additional qualifications, which are quality assured by the Quality Council. DHET's response to that is professional bodies award designations, and that is what is registered on the on that register of professional designations. If a new designation designations are established and awarded against new qualifications, then the professional body must update the register and upload the data to for software accordingly, and this process is open-ended, and the NQF Act is not static about that. The issue of the qualifications are supportive to the professional designation, and the two frameworks there, the National Qualification Framework and the register on the professional designations, are support one another. That should not be repeated in the one that is already in the other one. SAICA also raised the issue that should the amendment be adopted, maintenance of these records should subsequently be included in the functions of of SAICA. The response that from the department side is in line with discussions we've had with SAICA, and that is, when it comes to how the different frameworks are populated, It is based on policy that is promulgated by SACWA, and which deals with the issue of recognition of the professional bodies and the registration of the professional designation, and that it is a flexible tool that is needed in order to deal with it. You can't go and amend the legislation each and every time if there is an amendment to it, and also the register is supported by the policy, and therefore it is not an issue that should be dealt with as requested or the comment in accordance with the comment that we received from the stakeholder. Chair, if we can move to slide 15. It is clause 4, between brackets 1 capital D, which is a new provision in the legislation. It is if after verification or evaluation, a qualification or part qualification is found to be inauthentic or is found to be misrepresented, a qualification or part qualification is declared by a court of law to be a fraudulent qualification or part qualification, the SACWA must refer such a finding and the information of the relevant or to the relevant professional body as may be prescribed subject to subsection 1C. Subsection 1C is very important because that seems to be the heart of the complaint, and that is that it must be subjected to the Promotion of Administrative Justice Act, but 1C is specifically providing for that, because the verification and the evaluation process referred to in this subsection 1 must confirm to the provisions of the Promotion of Administrative Justice Act, and therefore if private information is made available to any other third person, it is by way of two processes. The one is by a consequence of law, and this piece of legislation is assisting SACWA to engage and to make sure that the relevant information can be obtained. The other one is with the consent of the individual, and the consent of the individual is also as a very important tool that SACWA use in their policies. They get the consent of an individual that engages with them in order to make personal information available to others as part of that process. It's not as an open-ended, but a very focused for the purpose of that specific request. So, the aspect of the PAJA is fully covered in the legislation, and it was also a matter where the three sets of legal teams involved in this bill, which is the parliamentary law advisor, the state law advisor, and the departmental law advisors, we were all in agreement that they are full compliance with the provisions of PAJA as well as PAIA, which is the issue of access to information, and also to the FOPI Act, the Protection of Personal Information Act, which is not fully implemented yet, but we are of the opinion that this act is actually strengthened the provisions of those legislation in the implementation thereof. In slide 16, I've already addressed some of the issues.
Advocate, I would really request that you move a bit faster.
I will. I think I've dealt with that one. I can then move to 17. The issue is once again, 41B. I think the comment of the IIE is to remove entries from records and to also deal with the reporting of criminal investigation. That is the whole purpose of this act, is to set that process in place, and the policies will obviously deal with it in more detail, but the legislative empowerment is already there. If I can move to slide 18, which is dealing with clause 4E, 1A. SAICA is dealing with the issue of the professional body, the training provider, and that it once again with the concept of legacy qualifications, and which is in partnership with international institutions. Once again, the issue is whoever is offering the qualification in South Africa is subject to our laws and must comply with SAICA. If there's partnerships, if there's issues that SAICA will take into account, but the responsibility remains with the registered or the public institution, and irrespective of the name, if it's a qualification or part qualification, it is affected. Clause 19 is dealing with SAICA comment that a large amount of data are subject to upload, and that it can lead to mistakes. This was one of the areas which the portfolio committee also responded to very seriously, and they've had an inspection at the premises of SAICA. The auditing of data and the credibility is one of the focus areas that they've looked into, and they were satisfied that the systems are in place to deal with it. No doubt it is a very huge database, but it is manageable, and the policies also address the concerns raised. If I can move to slide 20, the issue that was raised by Yusuf is that it is, you claim a qualification, and it is basically also linked to the issue of verifying a qualification. The issue there is if a person presents a qualification for a job opportunity, for a learning opportunity, for whatever purpose, the obligation is that that person is claiming that qualification and is then an achievement, and the moment that is done, it is already in the system. The word claim is not material, and it's not really adding any value to what is already in the legislation. Slide 21 is dealing with the issue of in consultation with SAICA, advise the minister. Now, Chair, the issue here, it is the aspect of the quality councils must deal with it in consultation. It is important to note that this is a system that is dependent on different role players, and it is also important that if the advice is not agreed to by the different role players affected by that advice, it is making the advice very difficult to implement, and it has also been one of the difficulties that the current system is dealing with, that advice that is received from one of the role players is disowned by another, and this is the mischief that we try to address. The word in consultation is even included when the minister is taking specific actions, as we've also come to later on. So, Chair, the whole concept of this so-called inquiry of family is to work together, get consent amongst themselves, and take it forward in a meaningful way, and therefore it is not supported. The data upload at no charge, this is an issue that we've already discussed in this committee on a number of in both the meetings that we've had. It is very important that we should not cause additional costs, and if the government through their resources to the quality councils already been subsidized to get the outcome of all the learner achievements, and then expect someone to pay for it in order to put it on the learner database, it is a cost driver, which caused a lot of difficulty to the individual. It also caused a delay, because some of the quality councils only provided to SAPWA months or 9 months after it had been released to some of the other agencies, and then they insist that SAPWA must pay them. And the purpose is we are dealing with an official database, which is a asset to all of us, where you as an individual with a qualification got a right to knock on the door and make sure that your qualifications are reflected. And if there is a problem of administrative difficulty, the legislation is there to address it, and this is what we are doing here. So it must be made immediately available when it comes after the QC deals with it, and it is at no extra cost. Jack, if I can then move to clause 23. It is dealing with clause 7, which is an amendment that is introduced pertaining to offences. Comments of Yusuf was to also link it to professional designations. The professional designations are mainly in the domain of the professional bodies, and they are the guardian of their professions. So if a person is using a professional designation without authority, in terms of their legislation, they already got the power to engage with that. The focus of the NQF Act is to deal with qualifications, but professional designations linked to those qualifications were the missing link, and that is what we address, not the enforcement of the misuse of professional designations. That's already covered by other legislation. Then if we deal with slide 24, it is use of comment is with fraudulent purpose or intent knowingly provide false and misleading information. Without becoming technical, fraudulent purpose can only be with intent. You can't commit fraud without the intention to commit fraud, so it's already embedded in that, and it is not adding any value. Slide 25 is dealing with Umalusi. Their main issue is that in the view of the NQF Act must deal also with the functions of the Minister of Basic Education. The NQF Act has been assigned to the Minister of Higher Education and Training, the NQF Act consists of other legislation which is dealing with the establishment of the different quality councils. Now, the General and Further Education and Training Act gives specific roles to the Minister of Basic Education, when it comes to policy making, dealing with all the matters relating to school education. And that's not affected by this amendment bill at all. So the issue of dealing with assignment of a legislation is then in terms of the constitution by the president. The president can reassign the legislative authority to the Minister of Basic Education, but in our view of the department is that the overall executive responsibility of the EKF rests with the Minister of Higher Education and Training. It's not a shared legislation, and that the issues that they raise in relation to the GenFEDQA Act is managed by them. It is managed by them since 1996 when this Act came into effect, and that it is there are no matters that is causing that or providing that functions must be assigned in terms of the Act to the Minister of Basic Education. The other issue in slide 26 that Umalusi is referring to is that the QC is the custodian of the qualifications and must verify the attained qualifications, whilst the QCs certify attained qualifications and part qualifications of the candidates. Chair, that is already addressed in the legislation. The functions of the quality councils are there, and the word attained is not going to make any difference to what is in the legislation. It got a similar meaning of the language that we use of authentic qualifications. If it is compliant with all the requirements and standards, then the holder thereof can present it as a qualification, and a qualification by its nature is an attained qualification. Chair, if we can move to 27, slide 27. Umalusi also raised the view that qualification and education institutions need to take cognizance of the changing landscape. Landscape and the definition must be clear to include other forms of offering such as distance or online learning. Chair, the department is of the view that the qualification on and part qualifications may be offered in various modes, the online, distance, there's a number of possibilities. What matters is that the qualification must be registered in the as an education institution, and that the mode is not the determination. The registration or the establishment of the institution, which is done by other legislation, will be more focused on the mode of delivery than the NQF Act, and it is not the the vehicle to address this issue. Chair, the MIE also raised in slide 28 a number of concerns that the employer will not refer qualifications for verification, and that the amendment is creating a monopoly for SAQWA, and that the issue of timers access to the verification. They also raised the issue that the performance of verification and evaluation within 30 days is unrealistic. The CS process, they asked the question whether the CS process was followed, and if it will have an impact on their revenue, and then which is a self-interest that they raise here, and SACWA may have to be registered as a credit bureau in terms of the Section 43 of the NCA. Here, the issues there are, first of all, the Act places an obligation on an employer to ensure that there is a verification. It is important that the public service is already, which is one of the biggest employers in South Africa, is already complying to that. Nation and SACWA has also demonstrated to Parliament that they do have the systems and the capacity to deal with it, not only timelessly, but also very efficiently. So the issue of implementation is not a problem. Chair, the issue of monopoly is a very important one. The aspect is that we do find that the responsibility to deal with a national qualification framework is assigned to the SACWA. It is a very important one because you need an official database. It was the very first educational legislation because the integrity of qualifications must be supported by this national learner database. And it is not prescribing that any of the institutions or employers or whoever got an obligation in terms of this act to verify must do it themselves. They can use agencies like MMI, like what's the other one, PERQ, and there's a number of these bodies who can perform the same function. So instead of doing it themselves, they can pay them and they can do the verification through the official learner database, but there is no monopoly that is being created. It is similar to passports assigned to a Department of Internal Affairs or the licensing of motor vehicles through provincial legislation to municipalities. It is no monopoly, but agencies are used in order to assist individuals in obtaining it. So the last slide, and that is just that one comment in that regard, the issue of monopoly is definitely not a problem. It is the roles of others are not necessary to be in legislation. It is a contractual arrangement between those that has been identified with the responsibility and they are going to perform their function and they can use whoever they need in order to assist them. Chair, thank you.
Thank you very much for the explanation that has been given based on the responses of the department and the submissions that were made by the various bodies when this piece of legislation was processed by the NCOP. Advocate Boshoff has responded to the submissions by USAF, SAICA, ITE, Umalusi, or IIE, OMADC and MIA. Those were the submissions that we received. So it's now an opportunity for honorable members to ask questions or make comments. I don't know if the Deputy Minister wishes to say something at this juncture.
No, not much, Chair. If I can please do the list.
All right. I hope the committee is releasing him. Any comments, honorable members, or questions? Honorable Sami.
No, thank you very much, Chair. We had enough time last week to engage on the documents. I don't know about other members. As for me, just one thing, that does it mean that all these inputs, there is no valuable input that we could consider, because I see you responded on almost everything without saying, oh, this one we can consider, it does help the process. Because the inputs are not only for opposing, but to strengthen the bill. Just to check, none of the inputs that could of value that could be used on the bill.
You know, all the members will accept, then you come in and respond.
Any other member with an input or a question?
Okay, you can then
respond, Advocate.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, what I've tried to indicate is the issues that are raised are not new. They were raised during the process in the portfolio committee. The issue of capacity, the issue of central authority, the issue of the monopoly, all those things were raised and were addressed and accommodated to some extent in order to deal with the main problem that they've raised here again. Chair, yes, amendments can be made of a cosmetic nature, but it is not necessarily going to add any value at this point in time. Obviously, it's not for me to indicate to the committee how they must do their work, but in the view of the department, there are no new issues that have been raised. The issues that have been raised have been thoroughly looked into and have been provided with a rationale why they've been amended and what is the impact of that amendment was caused by the comments that were received, which is exactly the same. Here to change a few words, as is provided by Yusuf, is in some cases not in line with the general language, as I've already alluded to, in the main act, and by addressing that as an amendment is going to cause more confusion than assisting at the implementation thereof. So, Chair, in our opinion, we've tried to indicate that all the issues have been addressed, and if obviously the committee is of the view that there is a need to deal with something specific, we can respond to that as well.
Honourable members, it would appear that there is no further comment or question. As Honourable Lamini said, that we actually said also at some stage from the times of the briefing to this committee and the subsequent meeting, now this is the final stage of the processing of this bill. All the stages, I think, in my opinion, have been covered. All the submissions have been looked into. As Professor Advocate Boshoff is saying, it doesn't necessarily follow that because there's a submission, then you must oblige. Some of the issues have been covered, some of them will not be covered, simply because it's the issues of semantics in the main. Usage of language, not this word, that word, not that kind of language, this language. The submissions were more of a technical nature than being substantive. To that extent, then, one would actually call upon the members to vote on the bill and also form the report of this select committee for this bill. The report of the select committee on education and recreation on national qualifications framework amendment bill B20B of 2018, coming from National Assembly as Section 75, dated the 6th of March 2019. I will therefore call upon members to vote individually, starting from this end.
Thank you, Chair. I support the bill.
Thank you. Is it important to mention the name? I don't remember.
All right. Kathy Dlamini from Mpumalanga. I support the bill.
Thank you, Chair. Deli Silangwena from Gauteng. The bill is supported.
Tandilu Kambos Mubana from the Western Cape. Do not support the bill.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am Dr. Nkhwedi Mampuru, representing Limpopo Province, Limpopo Province. I fully support it.
Thank you, Chair. Krasata, Northwest Province, I oppose. Thanks.
Hanstock from Northern Cape, we support the bill. Thanks.
Lynette Zwane from KwaZulu-Natal, we support the bill. So we've got a total of 7 members, 5 of them have voted in favor of the bill, and 2 of them are opposing the bill. The bill will be accepted nonetheless, and it will go to the House, notwithstanding, because it has been voted for in a meeting where there was quorum. The Select Committee on Education and Education, having considered the subject of the National Framework Amendment Bill B20B of 2018, referred to it and classified by the Joint Tapping Mechanism as Section 75 Bill, reports that the bill has been agreed to by 5 members out of 7 members that were present at the committee, and it will then be processed through to the National Council of Provinces for adoption. Thank you. I'm informed that the Parliamentary Legal Services are at the finance meeting. They looked through the submission as they did last week. They were there last week, and they didn't find anything really that was compelling them to be here. They are in agreement with the submission of the legal services that is presented before the committee. Thank you. We can then release the department. Thank you very much, Advocate. Doctor, we really regret that we have lost a person of your caliber. We do, but you can't change the processes of nature. You can't say, since, remain if it's time for you to move and go and be with your grandchildren in particular. So we really want to say thank you very much for all the input. We had a cordial relationship, and we learned a lot in working with you. May you have a happy retirement. Thank you. Things always are up for it. Yeah, I'm going to say my members are being just for adoption next week. Yeah. Honourable members, there are minutes that we need to pass. We've got quite a pie. Okay, thank you. It favors our situation. We are going to eat again. Oh, that was a change. This is the Sunday of the 7 November, followed by 14 November. Julie Sunday time.
28 November.
28 November. Oh, last year. All right, we can then proceed with the passing of the minutes. Honourable members.
Okay.
We've got minutes of the 7th of November 2018 before us. November 2018. We are then moving from page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. And the last page is page 6. From those members that were present, I'll seek a mover and a seconder of this minute. Honorable Mpambo Sibane is moving adoption of the minutes. Any seconder? Was I present? Okay, I'll second. We move on to the minutes of the 14th of November 2018. We were at M315 with the Department of Sports and Recreation South Africa looking at their annual report. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. And the last one is page 6. I seek a mover and a seconder on the minimum. Seconded by Honorable Mpambo Sibane. Thank you. The minutes are so adopted. Minutes of the meeting of the 28th of November held in M315. It was the annual report of basic education. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. The last one is page 6. I seek him over and a seconder. Honorable Dlamini Moyo was acting on the stage. A seconder. From my mind, who is the president, Honorable Mpambo Sibane. Thank you. She's not a president. She's president. Yeah. And then we move on to the minutes of the meeting of the 31st of January 2019. At M515, it was the briefing by Higher Education and Training on the National Qualification Framework, the bill that is just a process. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. The last one is page 5. I seek a mover and a seconder. Honorable Mampuru moves, seconded by myself. Thank you. Minutes of the meeting that was held on the 13th of February, M315 Max Building, it was briefing by the Department of Basic Education and Umalus on metric results. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. And the last one is page 5. I'll seek a mover and a second. Honorable Mampuru. I'm looking for a second on the result of the one is set as a intention. I thought I could put it. The minutes of the meeting that was held on 20th February 2019. Page one, what was the meeting about? Oh, it was about the consideration of this bill that we're processing today. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. And page 5. I'll seek a mover for my amongst the members that are present. Honorable Dlamini, and I second the minutes. Thank you.
Amen.
The minutes are so adopted. Thank you very much. Honorable members, we also have with us a copy of the Lekase report. I would implore the members to go and read it over the few days before our next meeting next week, so that it would be very easy to actually adopt the report, and then we'll make progress. Yes, yes. I know that there are meetings that are still going to hold, but the committee might give us permission to actually include those even after the adoption. That is if they come to fruition, because it is becoming very difficult to have quorum in the meeting. Nonetheless, I'll get the direction of the committee in this regard. But in the main, we were affording members an opportunity to go and read the report. It will be much easier when we do the adoption, because you'll have noted the issues that you want to raise in the report.
Are we allowed, ma'am, Unguti, throughout as we read, can we send our notes and whatever?
Yes, you are. Another issue? Honourable member, thank you very much.
I haven't been home. I need a microphone. So that I can learn. How is it possible? No, you know what I mean.